All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is another crossover Wednesday episode featuring Locked On Browns host Jeff Lloyd. We're going to be talking about this Falcons-Browns Week 10 matchup.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Good evening, everybody. You are Locked On Browns, your daily podcast covering the Cleveland Browns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Joining me is here this evening for Crossover Wednesdays, Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going? And how's it going to all your Locked On Browns listeners?
We're doing good. The fact that we're seeing the Atlanta Falcons starting to right the ship here, we're not thrilled. We were hoping maybe they could come in just as a mess as maybe the last couple of weeks have been for us. The team here, just get into it a little bit, Aaron. Obviously, because we had just mentioned here, you were on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson this week. The team's starting to right the ship here with the injuries. You got some key guys stepping up here. So I believe it's, what, 3 in a row now? The team's up to 4-4. So tell us a little bit, how the team's been looking the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they started to play much better defense. They were, for a while, they're one of the absolute worst defenses ever, at least on pace to be one of the worst defense ever in terms of how many points they were giving up early in the season. And their defense has started to step things up, and that's a good sign. They got Deion Jones coming back next week, I believe. And so he's basically been built up to be the savior. The offense has been clicking for the most part this season. They had two sort of struggles against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh on the road. And so it was a big question against a tough Washington defense on the road, whether or not this offense is just a different animal at home versus on the road. And they answered a lot of those questions this past week by putting 38 points on the Redskins. And the expectation now is if they can do that against the Redskins, they should be able to do that against the Browns this week.
Yeah, it's early to tell, but and everybody wanted to credit Kansas City. It got so bad on Sunday. The Browns were down to their fourth, fifth, and sixth cornerbacks. They were down to their third, fourth, and fifth linebackers. They were out. They were without their free safety. I think they held up pretty well. I mean, if you had said, hey, the Browns are going to lose to the Chiefs by two touchdowns, even under the most normal of circumstances, I would have said, yeah, seems about right. Kansas City's pretty freaking good. So I think they held pretty well. The offense, it was interesting to see. It was nice to see because it seemed like everybody was on the same page, and this had been, through the first eight games, this had been the issue. Obviously, you had an offensive coordinator who was looking out for himself. You had a head coach who basically had no pull whatsoever with anything that was going on. He was basically just a figurehead and held the title of head coach. But, as far as being a head coach, those duties had been relieved from him a long, long time ago. So it's interesting. I love the way that they played offensively. They played extremely aggressive. Any fourth down that was inside the opponent's territory, they went for. They did not even bother kicking an extra point. They went for two on all three touchdowns. Just fun to see and different. I think they're starting to get the fact that it's about getting the most reps, the most experience they can get under their belts this year. Contending in 2019 is kind of out of the way. It's just about, with this great young nucleus of players that's 25 and younger, getting them every, solid rep possible. So when it comes down to these, games that, they're on the line and they'll be ready for it, because they've been tested. I do want to get here to the Falcons offense. And first I want to get to, Calvin Ridley. I think he's really come in here, and it's funny because Julio Jones finally got in the end zone. So I'm glad you're done probably having to talk about that. That's had a bit of pain in the butt. But Calvin Ridley, he's come in here and, Mohamed Sanu, I'm a Jersey guy. I go to a lot of Rutgers. I think his game is a little bit, he got paid more than the player he is. But you bring in a Calvin Ridley here now, and Calvin is just a guy who can find open space. He runs wet routes well, and it seems like he's really, really been coming on here for this team.
Absolutely. Sanu is the number two receiver in terms of playing time, but Ridley's really the number two in terms of how he's used and the offense sort of, when it's not so geared to Julio Jones, it's really sort of running through Ridley. I posted a stat earlier this week with sort of Ridley's numbers on third downs. He's been, I think his Matt Ryan's completion percentage when he targets Ridley on third down is like over 90%. Over 80% of those result in first downs. You know, his passer rating, I think, when targeting Ridley on those third down situations is like 155, and like a perfect passer rating is like 158 or something like that. So basically, Ridley has been a major, major upgrade for the Falcons opposite Julio Jones. And I think it's been a big reason why this passing game has sort of surged forward, in the second year under Steve Sarkisian. He's definitely able to make better usage of Calvin Ridley this season than he was Taylor Gabriel, who in the previous year under Kyle Shanahan was sort of often that sort of versatile, dynamic weapon, besides Julio Jones in the offense. And that was really missing last season. And now they have it back with Ridley.
Yeah, and I think one thing that, you know, and I saw a lot of people, and actually I think it was Ben Albright who said that, believe it or not, you know, Steve Sarkisian, if teams can get past his past and believe that he's, you know, put all that stuff behind him, may actually get himself to the point where, you know, some head coaching interviews, at least sit downs, are going to come his way. But with the game on Sunday, with, you know, hanging 38, I know one of the qualms about the Falcons and what a lot of people always have to say is, you know, can they take the show on the road? Obviously, you know, you get to play Saints, so there's 9 dome games a year. You get to play in the nice weather in Tampa and usually nice weather in Carolina. But you went to Washington and you were able to hang the 38. The running game, has it been able to complement Matt Ryan and the obviously, you know, the bevy of weapons that he's got?
Well, yeah, this past week against Washington was really the first time since week 2 when they faced off against the Carolina Panthers where their running game has been for the most part effective, and it was very effective with the combination of Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith. Obviously, for, you know, Browns fans who haven't been paying attention or don't have him on their fantasy team, Devontae Freeman has missed most of this season, is currently on IR. He's potential that he could come back in like week 16 or something like that, but it's, you know, that's an open question at this point. But they have missed him in terms of having that sort of consistent ground attack. Against Washington, they were able to get some explosive plays from Tevin Coleman, which is where he's at his best as that sort of home run threat, rather than necessarily being that sort of reliable down in and down out, feature guy. Ito Smith is becoming a little bit more of that. And so if they can get some balance in this offense is really hard to defend, in the passing game because of the bevy of weapons. But if they can run the football, as effectively as they have in the past when Freeman has been healthy, in addition to all the weapons they have in the passing game, it really does become a nigh unstoppable type of offense in terms of when they get going. It's going to be really hard for even the best defenses to really slow them down.
Yeah, and for my Browns listeners, if you're going to think of Tevin Coleman, don't think of him as a traditional running back. He's a guy I kind of compare somewhat to Duke Johnson. He gives you a solid effort in the passing game. Obviously, you know, you can count on him for 10 to 12 rushes a game if you want to, but definitely brings some of the diversity to the position and succeeds well with that. For us, the interesting part is going to be, look, Denzel Ward left early on Sunday, banged up with a little bit of a hip. I've spoken to his agent. His agent thinks everything's going to be all right. He's going to be able to go this week. And Denzel Ward, number 4 overall pick, and this has been the thing. You know, he's in a division now where it's Antonio Brown. Haven't played the Bengals yet, but A.J. Green, whether or not we're going to see him with the injuries. He's played Michael Thomas, Mike Evans. Now Julio Jones comes to town. And for the most part, the rookie has really, really held up well. And this is almost, I mean, you know, the baptismal by fire that he's going through with week in, week out. You're seeing, you know, fantasy wide receiver ones. And he's been holding up. And knowing him and the way he is, I know he's chomping at the bit. Because he's mentioned Julio Jones before, and when he kind of realized the Falcons were on the schedule, you know, kind of admires the game, admires the players, so it's going to be interesting that way. The defensive line has been the key. The key, though, is that if the Browns cannot control the ball offensively and control the clock, Greg Williams has not been kind enough to give these guys enough reps. So as good as they are, whether it is, you know, Myles Garrett, Larry Ogunjobi, Emmanuel Ogbah, Jannard Avery plays a pass-rushing position, these guys are kind of getting gassed out because Greg has so much faith in him. He doesn't really have much faith in anybody else. So these guys are playing and maybe seeing 7 to 10, you know, blows a game at best. But how's the offensive line? Look, Myles Garrett is on a sack a game pace right now. You know, he blows things up, had 5 pressures again this last Sunday. You know, how's the left tackle position been looking? And Myles will duck in sometimes and run from a, you know, deep tackle spot. So how's the offensive line been looking pass pro wise?
Well, it hasn't been good throughout the season. This past Sunday against the Redskins, going up against a formidable Redskins front with some of their pass rushers. The expectation for me and for those people that listened to my show last week was that it wasn't going to look good based off of how the Falcons offensive line has played throughout the season. But coming out of the bye week, it seemed like they got a little bit of a fire lit under them. And they, for the most part, held up really well against the Redskins pass rush. So they're going to have to do that again, I think, against this Browns rush. Because as you say, guys like Myles Garrett, guys like Larry Ogunjobi, can get after the quarterback. Jake Matthews, who is the Falcons' left tackle, is having his best season, has been far and away the Falcons' best pass protector, but a player like Myles Garrett who can combine that sort of speed and also that power is traditionally the type of pass rusher that tends to give him a little bit more problems. The Falcons have two new starters on the interior with Wes Schweitzer and Ben Garland. They both have played well this past Sunday. Schweitzer has been up and down throughout his career. Garland is a quality backup, but in his brief instances being a starter as a guard has not necessarily lived up to expectations. But the past two games, him coming in halfway through that Giants game in week 7 and then this past week, he has looked pretty good. So if the Browns maybe are looking for a way to exploit Garrett in some favorable matchups, I do think kicking him inside against those two guards would be an opportunity where he can fully take advantage.
Yeah, and there's a good chance you're going to see that probably about, usually I would say like 3 to 5, at least in the pass rushing opportunities. They like to do that because for Miles, if it's one move and home, it's all the more better. Guys, for Aaron, for me, guys like ourselves, people come with a lot of questions and a lot of advice. Look, guys, we can give you betting advice, but at the end of the day, it's you're the one who's making the bet, so do with that what you can. But what we can tell you is who you're betting with is almost as important as who you're betting on, obviously, guys. That's why we always recommend to you mybookie.com. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online. Their mobile site is clean, simple, and easy to use. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. I don't place many bets. If I'm going to do it, though, I will use mybookie.com. You win, they pay. It is that simple. They have in-game, live betting, over-under on fantasy points, scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie.com is currently slammed with new members, guys. Everybody kind of gets the itch, and it seems like the betting goes up once you get later in, and it's a little bit colder out, and there's not as much to do. So if you want to go ahead and register with MyBookie.com, if you do it after 7 p.m. Eastern and make it easier on them, they will give you a free $25 towards your account. Now, this goes with the same deal that MyBookie.com has always run. Your initial deposit, they will match 100%. So do that after 7 p.m. Eastern. If you give them 100 of your money, they will give you 125 of theirs. You'll start with a balance of 225. Gives you a nice little thing, bundle to get ahead and get started with your betting. Join now, obviously with this one, guys, it's a different lock. It's a different promo code, capital L, capital O, locked on 25. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie.com. And don't forget to use the promo code capital L, capital O, locked on 25. MyBookie.com. You play, you win, you get paid. Now we're going to switch things up. And, like I had said about the Browns D right now, going through a lot of defense, a lot of injuries. Aaron, I know you don't want to hear it because you guys have been going through a lot yourselves.
Yeah. I think with the Falcons defense facing this Browns offense, I think it's a favorable matchup for the Falcons in only the ways where, the Browns have not really had a lot of success sustaining offense this year, particularly like on third downs. I think they're, towards the bottom of the league. But they do have a lot of, talented players, Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, Jarvis Landry, et cetera. So it's not as if the Falcons can say, oh, look at this, bottom-ranked offense, our defense is going to do just fine. And what's going to be interesting is they're coming off a couple of solid games against Washington and the Giants, where they've played their best that they've played since week one when they were fully healthy and have dealt with a lot of injuries since then. They got Grady Jarrett back for that Giants game. I think that's been a big boost for their defensive line. But it is one of those things where if they can't stop the run, and they have done that effectively the last two games, in particular against Saquon Barkley, against Adrian Peterson. But I think this Browns team is going to be a team that's, their style and the way that they're going to try to win this game is run the football behind Nick Chubb, keep this game low scoring, play good defense and whatnot. And if the Falcons let Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson, you know, go all over them and Jarvis Landry do his thing where he's just moving the chains and whatnot. You know, they could be in for a long day defensively, and they'll have to find ways to counteract that.
Yeah, I mean, if the Falcons' offense is humming, which is normally to the tune of 30 points, I don't think the Browns' offense is ready for that. The surprise of last week actually was is that, you know, Desmond Harrison, he wasn't feeling well, had been sick over the weekend, so he did not play Sunday. Greg Robinson actually came in at left tackle, and Greg Robinson carried a PFF pass blocking grade of over 80. The run blocking is usually pretty solid. He had a couple of gaffes there, which, you know, hurt his grade and overall performance. But we came away pleasantly surprised that Greg Robinson had a solid effort. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually got the start again this week. I think he earned it with his play on Sunday. Desmond Harrison, for the rookie right now, things are just kind of spiraling out of control. As week in, week out, he starts to see elite, you know, more of the elite pass rushers. He's been struggling in that aspect. With all the injuries that have, you know, been on the Falcons D, give us some guys who have basically stepped up, or some guys who have stood out.
Well, it's interesting because they lost free safety Ricardo Allen in week 3, and DeMonte Casey, their second year, you know, converted cornerback who's now playing free safety, is currently tied for the NFL lead with 4 interceptions. I think he's gotten this interception every single game, or at least 4 out of the last 5 games. He's been a guy that stepped up in a major way, is being much more of a playmaker than Allen, who's a steady, consistent sort of guy that, you know, won't make the mistakes, but isn't necessarily going to make the positive plays. Casey can be a little bit up and down, but he'll make you the positive plays like those turnovers, which is much needed for this defense as they were struggling for a long time to get stops. They've also had Foye Olakun, who has stepped up, a rookie who they took out of the 6th round out of Yale this past year, and slowly has been integrated into the defense and has sort of slowly overtaken 2017 third round pick Duke Riley, who's been up and down and struggled with missed tackles and blown assignments and coverage. And Olakun looks like he's going to lock down that weak side linebacker spot. And then when Deion Jones hopefully comes back and mans the middle linebacker spot, you know, in a couple of weeks, then they'll have the sort of their trio of linebackers with Jones and Olakun and Devondre Campbell. And Deidre Sanaa.
I loved him coming out of Minnesota, Campbell. Loved him.
And their other rookie, Deidre Sanaa, a third round pick this past year, has been a solid force against the run, playing that nose tackle spot, and has slowly shown a little bit in flash here or there as a pass rusher. So, you know, he's becoming more integrated. And so they're seeing some steady progress from this rookie class. They had their second round pick, Isaiah Oliver, make his starting debut this past week. And he had a pretty solid game, had a couple of pass breakups, did give up a touchdown. You know, he's a little up and down. So if he has to start again in replacement for Robert Alford, who's dealing with an ankle injury, the Falcons feel reasonably comfortable that he'll be able to hold his own. Fortunately, he's not going to be facing a talented receiver like a Josh Gordon. You know, he's probably going to be facing Damian Ratley or Antonio Callaway. Not necessarily to say that those guys are bad or anything like that, but just not necessarily the not expecting him to get absolutely destroyed and be completely out of his element going to get up against those two while Desmond Trufant is on the other side. So they have some young players, particularly this rookie class, who are slowly showing progress as the season wears on and hopefully can continue to do so as the Falcons try to make this playoff run.
Yeah. Now, as far as, you know, one of the things here that's been I don't want to say it's a nice surprise because, you know, we have a lot of faith in him and the type of player he can be. As far as handling tight ends, David Njoku is, you know, ever since the switch to Baker has happened, David Njoku, except for the second game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's shown up well week in, week out. He puts himself consistently into a, you know, basically a 4 to 5 reception guy, anywhere between 45 to 60 yards week in, week out. How have the Falcons been handling tight ends?
They've done a good job. Normally, their main guy handling the tight ends is Keanu Neal, and he's been injured. He's out for the season with a torn ACL. He suffered in week 1. And so it's been on your boy Devondre Campbell to sort of step up and sort of handle the primary responsibility. And he's played his best season so far in terms of coverage. He's had, you know, some issues in Tampa Bay against the bigger tight ends like O.J. Howard. But for the most part, against guys like Zach Ertz, against guys like Jordan Reed, he's done a much better job than he traditionally has done. He typically does better against bigger tight ends than quicker tight ends. But this year it's been sort of the opposite, where the quicker tight ends have not given the Falcons as much trouble as they usually do. And it's more the guys that can simply just box out Devondre Campbell that can sort of win, but he's always in position to make the play. He just, you know, gets boxed out sort of like a power forward or whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see Njoku in sort of that matchup, because Njoku has the potential to sort of bring both elements to the table with his size and his athleticism. So I think this will be an interesting matchup, and maybe because Njoku has the potential to do both things, may have a little bit more success against the Falcons defense and the tight end position than maybe some other better or more well-known tight ends have in recent weeks.
Okay, that's good stuff to know. Guys, Matt Williamson, he hosts basically the mothership, the Locked On NFL podcast, you know, covers everything. You know, Monday the shows are, you know, he'll have on a couple of hosts, you know, with teams who had the biggest wins. I know Aaron was one of the guys who joined him on Monday. Tuesday, he has Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, with all the youth at the quarterback position in the NFL. He's a great guest to get on once a week. You know, gives you, you know, his thought process and what he's seeing. Wednesdays, you get Mike Renner from PFF. We, each one of our shows, we like to sit down with the PFF guys, get their thoughts, and we go through player grades. So you get Mike Renner with Matt Williamson on Wednesdays. Thursday, you get Mike Sando from ESPN. Friday, Matt sits down, gives you his NFL Pick'em show. You know, he'll pick every game on the slate. It's a good thing to go listen to, guys, and then go ahead and, like I said, use mybookie.com. You know, parlay two parts of Locked On together there, guys. But Matt Williamson with the Locked On NFL podcast, guys, does a fantastic job over there. Some game thoughts and predictions is where we're at here, Aaron. Biggest thing for me that I'm going to come away with is I want the momentum of the offense last week to keep going. Baker was 29 of 42, did throw an interception. It was a bad-looking ball. The Browns did not have a three and out the entire game, and that has not happened yet this season. Obviously now, you know, with Freddie Kitchens calling plays, and one thing they emphasized is they tried to sit down with each positional group and say, all right, this is what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to do things that we feel you're all a little bit more comfortable with. We got to see 20 plus carries from Nick Chubb. We got to see Duke Johnson catch 9 passes, 1 rush. I really don't care if Duke Johnson gets much carries. I'm confident with Nick Chubb doing that, but maybe you're going to have to give Duke a couple to keep him honest. But Duke is solid in the receiving game, and him, I think it was 9 for almost 70, 2 touchdowns. It was a great effort from him, a guy who's been in, like, here's some of the Cleveland media. They wanted to blame it on Todd Haley. Duke Johnson wasn't getting enough balls the last 2 years, and Todd Haley wasn't here. So don't pick your stance, Cleveland media. Don't do that. David Njoku, just keep this fine season going along. Jarvis Landry, they're starting to do more with Jarvis Landry, what you saw in Miami. And this was one of my issues when they brought him here, is everybody got so excited, and you know, they kind of just looked at the stat lines, and you know, and there were people trying to put him in the upper echelon with Julio, with Odell Beckham, and that's just not the guy Jarvis is. I mean, and the Tampa game is a prime Jarvis Landry stat line, 10 for 85 and a touchdown. And that's fine. Just build around him. You know, right now you've got two rookies, Antonio Callaway and Damian Ratley, finding their way here. Callaway, things are starting to slow down a little bit for him. He just kind of looked like a guy in the field who was running 5 million miles an hour. And it was just sometimes you got to learn to pace, you know, I mean, pace yourself to hit your open spot. And then that's when you turn on the juice and you're starting to see a little bit more of that from Callaway. Ratley is a nice, big, 6'3" guy. Rashard Higgins got to play last week a little bit. He's been Baker's favorite wide receiver. When Baker's in a tough spot, that's the guy he looks for. We lost him for 3 weeks. Rashard came back last week, was kind of on a pitch count, and I don't think he's got all of his cutting ability back. Hopefully we get to see more of that this week. But Rashard Higgins and Baker Mayfield have developed a nice rapport. So offensively, I want to see that continue. Defensively, this is going to come down to who can play and who can't. Demarius Randall has been fantastic as this team's free safety. But, you know, he had been barely practicing as it was because he had a heel issue. Then he missed this past Sunday because he had a groin issue. So yeah, we need Demarius Randall there because he's taken over this free safety position and just put it basically on lockdown. Jabril Peppers, Derek Kindred, nice young box safeties. They like to get their nose dirty. They're solid tacklers. You know, so continued effort from those guys there. The linebacking core, we could be, you could be talking Jamie Collins as your top linebacker. Jannard Avery, if you've got to play him full-time at linebacker, you lose a guy who helps you in nickel and dime as a pass rusher. The third linebacker could be Ray Armstrong. It could be Tanner Vallejo. These guys are just, you know, career journeymen in the league. So, I mean, they're going to be down some guys, but if the offense can kind of do their thing and maybe make it easier on them, they can hopefully keep this a game for 60 minutes. But the most important thing for me right now and the most critical thing for this team is this offense can maintain what they did here, Aaron. So tell me, as far as the Falcons here, what needs to keep going here to get this from 4-4 and hopefully get you guys to a 10-6 where you maybe, you're looking at playoffs because you guys are in a really tough division.
Yeah. This game is interesting because it has sort of some of the elements. You have a little bit of a trap game where the Falcons are coming off a pretty impressive win on the road, looking at this Browns team like, oh, they're the Browns, they're bad, they can't play offense, their defense is bad, all these sorts of things, and can sort of get a little bit complacent. And one of the interesting things that I noted on Twitter last week was that when you look at the Falcons under Dan Quinn, they typically, when they play on the road, it's pretty much you know if they're going to win the game by how they start. If they start fast and they score early in the game, then they typically are able to take care of business in their games. If they start slow and get off to this slow pace, as they did against Philadelphia, as they did against Pittsburgh, they tend to struggle in those games. And so, one of the things that they did last week against Washington, they got off to that fast start. They scored on two of their first three possessions. They had 21 points by halftime. They could have had 28 if they hadn't turned the ball over on a busted miscommunication between Ryan and Calvin Ridley. So it's one of those things, if they can get off to a fast start, then the Falcons should be able to take care of business, because then that sort of forces the Browns to maybe not run the football as much with Nick Chubb, force Baker Mayfield to drop back 30, 40 plus times, which is probably not the best way to try to win games currently with their sort of talent level. And then, if they can continue to put points on this Browns defense, then I think they'll be able to roll in this one. But it's all about that first quarter. And basically, if the Browns can sort of keep it like a 3-0 game or a 3-3 game through the first, 15 to 20 minutes of this game, they'll have an opportunity potentially to win this game, because the Falcons, people don't like hearing it, but they're kind of a front-running team, particularly given this season, given all the injuries that they have on defense. And this defense just hasn't shown a consistent level of being able to hold up when they need it to. They did a much better job against Washington, but the big question is the last couple of games against Washington and the Giants, is this a turning point for this Falcon team in this defense in particular, or is this just sort of a two-week blip where they actually look good and they'll just go back to being sort of mediocre or bad? So that's going to be the big question. But I think if they wind up, checking all those boxes, answering all those questions that they have done the last 2 weeks, then they should have no problem rolling this one. If I was going to put a score prediction on it, I would say something like 31-17.
I think we can do a little better point wise. So for me, but the question is going to be, is I'm very, very concerned about the availability and who they're going to have defensively. So if I'm going to put a score prediction to this, and I think this is going to continue, I don't think the Browns are going to kick much extra points. So I'm going to say maybe a 31, 34, 22, something of that nature. I think the Browns can hang for most of the game where it's going to be respectable. But, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, I mean, there's just so much offensively that if the Browns are going to be down, and it looks like they're going to be down, a pretty good amount of guys, it's just going to be too tall of a task for them to ask to run with this team for 60 minutes. Hey, who knows? Maybe the weather could get a little crazy. I mean, it is Cleveland, a slick field, muddy field, whatever the case may be. Maybe things could get slowed down a little bit for them. But for me, look, the offense, as long as they score in the 20s, I understand the issues that are going to be with the defense, because, look, they're just going to be outmanned and just not have enough guys. And it's tough, but it's just the way we're rolling right now. And, look, none of the injuries are season-ending or ACLs or where guys are, looking at 9 months of rehab. So, look, those injuries you just got to deal with. I mean, this is what happens in the NFL. But I would figure, like I said, 33, 34 to 22 to 25, something – somewhere 8-10, I figure the Falcons should, hopefully comfortably walk away with this one. But for me, it's about the offense keeping doing what it's doing. Guys, this has been your crossover edition of Locked On Browns, Locked On Falcons. Aaron Freeman, guys, go ahead, follow the show at Locked On Falcons. Follow him at Aaron. I do believe it's at Falk Fans, FalcFans, right?
You nailed it, Jeff. There you go.
All right. There we go. Guys, always follow the Locked On Browns Twitter account. We keep that follow-up back. Go ahead, follow me personally at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Guys, for me, for Aaron, look, we appreciate everything you guys do, the downloads, the iTunes ratings, reviews, you know, the subscribers, recommending the shows to friends. It means a lot because I put in a lot of work. I know the amount of work Aaron puts in. It's a lot of work for what we do, and guys, we do enjoy it. But it's even more enjoyable when we know how much everybody appreciates it and how much everybody looks forward to when it pops up on their phone and says, oh, okay, I got 20 minutes, and plug in some earbuds and they get a listen in. So thank you, everybody, for that. Until we talk to the next time, everybody, guys, it's been an absolute blast. I enjoy the game on Sunday, and, you know, check out for me and Aaron on Twitter on Sunday. Maybe we'll poke a little fun at each other. All right, everybody, have yourselves a great night.
All right, guys, what else is to say? Another crossover in the books. Appreciate Jeff for calling the shots, you know, on that one. And we'll see what the Falcons do. You know, I think this game could be interesting. They should roll in this one, but you know the Falcons. You guys have been Falcon fans, many of you, longer than I have. And you follow this team. And when you expect things to roll, they don't necessarily live up to those expectations. But then when you're like down on the team, or at least I know from my personal experience, once you get down on a team, like, oh, this team is hanging it up, then they come out the next following week and play well. And we'll have to see. So this should be, you know, we're looking at the matchup. This should be probably, you know, this game, Arizona, and probably Tampa Bay are the three easiest games left on their schedule. So if, you know, but typically we know the Falcons don't necessarily dominate their opponents every week in and week out when they always should. And so that'll be a big question. But we'll have to sort of see how things go. So that being said, if you want to provide your feedback, then you can do so. Of course, I'm on Twitter at FalcFans. The show's Locked On Falcons on Twitter. If you like Facebook, Locked On Falcons is the name of the page there. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And, of course, you can leave a comment at falcfans.com where the podcast is posted daily. So, guys, until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.